We're gonna get this place hot and clammy. Just like the new boss like it.
Well, hello and welcome to the AirRaid.net podcast. This is episode number 2 in hopefully a long and drawn-out series. Welcome. Thanks for downloading our nice little podcast here. You have a very nice iPod. We have a great show planned for you today. Cannon Canyon is here, old friend of mine from college, who is now doing fart noises. I don't know if you heard that, but welcome, you guys.
Hello. Hey. How's it going?
Say that one more time, Kellen. I didn't get you.
I said, hello, how's it going? Where are you from originally?
I'm not going to answer that. Okay. I vowed to myself early on.
He's from India.
No, I'm not going to say
don't
it.
Say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. I don't want anybody else getting there. That. Yeah. Well, welcome, you guys. Thanks for coming on the show.
This is awesome. Thanks for having us.
My wife and I, we had our third anniversary last weekend. And it's kind of funny because we also had episode 2 planned last weekend, and all my gear crapped out on me. I'm using this program called Cakewalk, which is not exactly what they say it is.
And number 2 crapped out on you.
Right.
Heyo! So tell me, how long have you and your wife been together? Go on.
3 years.
That's awesome.
3 years married.
You may have already said that.
Oh,
but I was too busy.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah.
I was too busy looking at her. She made us dinner, didn't she?
She did. She did. It smells really good, doesn't it?
Can we do this again next week?
Why not?
This be a Sunday event.
It can.
Sunday
Welcome
dinner
back
podcast.
With Cannon Canyon.
Again.
They're eating meatloaf tonight.
Sorry, guys. We don't have any new material, so we're going to do those songs again. But I was hoping we could do spaghetti.
Yeah, just play the same songs every weekend on the same podcast. That'd be good. No, we've been together for 7 years now. 7 great years. And what we had a great thing planned for this week. Last weekend, we were going to go on an early morning hot air balloon ride.
Ooh, romantic.
Right? But it got rained out. And this is why I love my wife, because we're both really hooked on Lost, and the season finale was on last weekend on Sunday.
Ooh, I was there.
The day we were me too.
I was there.
Were you?
I fell asleep.
Yeah.
Pussy. What a diehard.
Love the show, fell asleep.
So anyway, we were gonna go on this hot air balloon ride. And then we were going to go get an early dinner down at Elliot's here in Seattle on the waterfront. And then we're going to jet back to the house so we could make the season finale of Lost. And that's why.
Is that your way of saying you were going to make love?
No. We were actually going to watch the season finale
I'm
of
sorry.
Lost.
That's after.
Okay.
Yeah. But then it was, you know, Lost ended at, you know, 11 o'clock, 11:30 or something like that.
Bummed you guys both out and then.
Oh yeah,
just ruin the anniversary.
Well,
I actually
liked it. I really enjoyed the season finale.
I'll be honest with you, I really did too. But it takes the whole letting go attitude to really.
I couldn't
enjoy
let go.
That.
I couldn't let go.
Clearly.
I still had hope that it meant more than it actually was. And
emotionally attached, I understand.
Yeah.
Well,
it was hard for me to watch. I didn't want it to end. There was a lot of time invested in that show.
So wait a minute. I thought you said earlier, though, that you didn't really watch Lost.
No, I watched it, but I started season 3.
Mm. Also,
which was the worst season, by the way.
Everyone says it's the worst season, but.
And that's where it lost a lot of people.
And correct me if I'm wrong.
No pun intended.
But you lost your job and then bought a big screen TV, right? It happened in that order.
That's actually wrong.
Okay. But anyway, his big screen TV crapped out on him, and so as this red fuzz that. I don't know. It's the kind of thing that would make me not want to watch TV.
Yeah, it sucks.
So wait, you watched the season finale with this red fuzz?
No, I watched it at my parents' house.
Okay, good. Yeah. Yeah. And you fell asleep. Story. Well, see, I've been hearing a lot of a lot of people have been saying, you know, they hated it and they were so disappointed in it. And I found myself like really trying to stick up for it, you know, like it was just like I was, you know, it was all Facebook, you know, stuff. So I was like commenting on people's pages, like, "What the fuck? Why didn't you like it? You know, it was great. It was the perfect ending because they were all happy. They met each other in purgatory, and then they were going on to the next step."
My biggest beef was the fact that it is maybe just about Jack's life. Like, this whole thing was leading up to the end of Jack, and I thought they had such an incredible thing going with everybody's own little stories. It just kind of discredits the whole, every little flashback option.
Well, I think it was Jack's point of view and the end. It's from Jack's point of view. But
just the end? Then?
Well, I know that the writers really didn't. They had to piece the shit together.
Oh, dudes wrote themselves into a corner for sure. Yeah. But that's part of letting go and just being like, you know, I got to be honest with you, man. I cried a little bit.
Oh, I did too. I shed a tear.
I fell asleep. That's how I feel about it.
So, okay. So anyway, last weekend we were. We caught your guys' show. You guys played at a place called the Black Lodge in Seattle.
Run by one of my junior high friends named Keith, who is an amazing, awesome. I almost said amassum. He's an amassum dude.
You're awesome.
And, yeah, he's doing a lot for putting on shows in a city and where...
Adam. Well, I thought it was a great show. You guys,
Adam Bass.
Yeah, Adam, yeah. He set it up, Ladies' Choice, right?
Super fan. I love you, Adam. I love you so hard.
Hey, super fan. Hope you become a super fan of this podcast. So
he will.
Yeah.
He'll buy a shirt.
We don't have shirts yet. Yeah, great show, you guys.
Hey, thanks,
and
Mix.
And Coop, Mike, you've been down in L.A. for a while.
This is true.
For like what, 4 months?
Yeah, about 4 months, 3.5, 4 months.
Right, and then you did kind of your own little tour coming up, zigzagging along the West Coast.
I did. I did a solo acoustic loop station tour.
Right, right. Yes. So tell us about that a little bit, because you have done some touring with some other bands, you know, and it's been a group of guys, you know, going from show to show. This is your first time kind of touring by yourself, right?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And it was okay. I mean, it was an adventure, but in the end, I don't think I'll tour alone again. It's a little lonely. You don't get to talk about the show.
Sleeping in an RV by yourself.
No,
but at the end of the show,
you're sleeping in a bitchin' banana alone.
At the end of the show, you get to keep all $13, though. You don't have to split that between me and David.
I made $12 one show, which was fucking awesome. Wow. But when you're playing with a group of people, to, you know, three or four people, you can talk shit and you guys have a good time and it's fun. But when you're by yourself and you play to maybe one other person, it's a little lonely.
Was she pretty?
It was my mom.
So the answer is yes.
Yeah, she's
beautiful, sweet,
very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dude, I am not bullshitting you when I say your mom looks great for her age.
Okay, stop. That's done.
We had a nice coffee the other day.
This conversation is over.
She told me what her.
I love when people end that. Okay, sorry. End the conversation with "this conversation is over."
It's kind of a cop out.
So does that mean that? It's kind of a cop out. But does it mean actually?
Fuck you. We're not talking about the shit anymore. This conversation is over.
Yeah, but that means also you can take away from that that you're, okay, well, let's move on to something else, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So tell us about...
a dick move to say,
this conversation is over.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're good at this. You're good at this, Mike.
He's just been looking for an excuse to put his mouth on the foam thing covering the microphone.
Yeah.
It looks kind of like... he was one of those dudes that probably ate Play-Doh.
I think he might still eat Play-Doh.
Yeah. Shit's good, man.
It's nice and salty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you guys... How long have you guys been playing together?
You answer this because I cannot remember.
I think it's a combination, or it's probably 2 or 3 years, maybe.
It's coming up on that, which is weird to me. Doesn't seem like that long. We, I met Mike through an old roommate of mine named Peter. There
it looks
it
like
is.
A bird.
He absolutely. I wish we could put up a picture. The dude looks like a bird.
Well, we probably can once this all goes live onto the website in mid-June.
We can put it on that fancy website.
Yeah, yeah, we can.
Looks
we
good.
Can
I'd recommend everybody take a look at this, if only see to him. See how well put together it is.
If you see Peter, call him a bird, but prepare to get punched in your shoulder, because he will punch you in the shoulder if you yell caca at him.
Anyway, so old roommate Peter is filling in on drums for somebody in Mike's older band, Roy, and I'm super jealous because I'm crazy super fan for Roy growing up listening to everything his bandmates had put out. And Mike didn't play music, as far as I know, until this. So he's in this band, and I'm like, wow, you know the guy from Roy? Like, I hear he's got a really big personality. And... so Peter introduces me. I find out that Mike is actually the most regular, easygoing guy that laughs at fart jokes. So
I'm
trying to not.
We had almost.
You're trying to cut back on that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've actually,
it's a waste
I've actually
of time.
Tried to
it's
cut
so
back
hard
on that myself.
To do,
told you. So anyway, through that, Mike and our friend David record a record full of Cannon Canyon songs.
David Bilbrey, right?
David Bilbrey.
He is the drummer. He's the current drummer that couldn't be here tonight.
We're technically without a drummer right now, but
okay.
David was filling in on the show.
Right.
David has
right.
a baby now, and it's
he has a little baby. How old's the baby?
13.
13 years old.
Yeah. 13 months. Actually, I think it is 13 months.
Wow, that was a lucky
good
stab.
Job, Kellen. Good job.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you. Did a little research.
But I would say a year and a month, but. Baby owners or parents, I guess.
Baby owners. That sounds awful.
They always go by months for age. So
you know what?
Months.
I can't wait. I can't wait until, you know,
I have a baby.
My wife and I have a baby. And then you know, we can go around to all of our friends and we can be like, I made a human life. What the fuck have you done?
Ooh.
You're a baby owner.
I'm just renting this one. Got it on lease.
Then I would answer you by saying, I went to AMPM and got a can of malt liquor yesterday, so who's on top now?
Hey, you can do that when you're a dad.
When
you can
I'm
do
dead?
That. When you're a dad.
When I'm a dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can go get a can of malt liquor when you're dead. It's not that impressive. Anyway, Mike asked me to do the layout for his album. I do that, and then very nervously, as I finish that, ask him, or rather I say, dude, I'll play bass. Let's take this on the road. Not knowing even if they had a bass player or anything.
I don't even know if they were playing shows at that point.
Maybe not. But either way, I was really impressed with the record, dying to be a part of it. And when he said yes, I did a little dance in my bedroom. Probably never told you that.
That's weird.
But I was pretty excited about it. And then since then, we've been playing shows, touring. Losing drummers, gaining drummers.
Yeah, right on.
Dating
okay,
drummers.
Okay, so when you said that you had heard the record before you actually started playing with them. So the record that you guys that you recorded was recorded just by you and
it was me and David.
David, and
David? Played the drums and bass, and I did all guitar and vocal action.
Well, that's great. It turned out really, really good.
Thanks.
Yeah. I'd agree.
Yeah.
I think it was
thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Very awesome.
And I do have to say, too, when you mentioned that Mike was in Roy, that's how we first met, actually.
That's true.
We played a show together.
At the Liquid
with
Lounge.
With my band at the Liquid Lounge. Yeah. With owned by Mr. Scott Abrams, who should be coming on the show within the next couple months, hopefully.
I'll be sure to be here for dinner.
What do we? Can we have Thai that night?
So when's the dinner break anyway?
You'll have to ask Mairead. You'll have to ask Mairead.
I'll ask Scott. I wonder what Scott wants. We'll
he's gonna want chicken strips.
I
think he probably wants bar food.
He wants dino chicken nuggets.
Anything dino chicken nuggets. Yeah, yeah.
I think he
from the frozen food section.
What's the KFC sandwich? The double down?
The double down,
I think
sir.
He wants double down.
We talked about the double down on episode one.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And
bring it up again.
No, no, please, because that thing is just a ball of interesting.
I want that shit so bad.
And that's when he says that. Yeah. No pun intended.
Because I just talked to a guy on Friday night who said the same exact thing. And I said, well, why don't you just go get one? He said, because I need somebody to get one with me.
And I got to be able to share.
And we're drinking a little bit, if you couldn't tell.
PBR. Oh, yeah, that malt liquor joke was only because I'm looking at a can. I'll have other jokes about things we're looking at, like laptops and
microphones.
Mice.
What's up with the graphic on your laptop there?
Oh, I think that comes stock.
Is that, that's Cyborg.
Is that a selling point for HP?
That's Cyborg. Right there.
It's their whole new bubble robot campaign.
Yeah, this laptop actually turns into a transformer. It turns into a VW Beetle.
More than meets the eye. Ding, ding,
ding. Yeah.
Oh, man.
No GoBots in this house.
Yeah. You're killing.
Whatever.
So, Mike, I mentioned earlier that we were actually planning on going on a hot air balloon ride. And
how'd that work out for
we
you?
Didn't get to. And, you know, I got to say that I'm kind of freaked out about going on it because I have a deathly case of vertigo going on in the past, like, 6 years.
That's insane. I'm terrified of that. I saw, like, a little expose thing.
You're terrified of everything.
Well, okay. But this is, like, high up on my list.
Okay.
the symptoms of that freak me out only because I've been pretty drunk before, and it's terrifying. I can only
imagine being totally not drunk. So the thing that scares you is that you're scared of getting vertigo. You don't actually have vertigo. You're just scared of vertigo.
No, if I got vertigo.
He's borderline hypochondriac.
Oh, I don't know. I'd say full on, full blown.
I taught him how to drive a stick shift, and he almost freaked the fuck out.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a panic attack, but I was prescribed some stuff for it. We don't have to talk about it, really. It's not a big deal.
Only person upset at me for teaching him something amazing.
Okay. No, but we got to get back to vertigo because that's terrifying. And also, I'm a big fan of Arrested Development, and this is going way off the subject, kind of.
Yeah, you're kind of,
but
you're veering left.
But I saw Liza Minnelli in passing on TV the other day, and remembered her character from that show. And then, like within, I don't know, a couple hours, I was reading this thing on the internet, watching this video about people that have vertigo. And it sounds like the worst possible thing in the world. Between that and the Crohn's disease, is that the stomach one?
Crohn's disease.
Between
Kurt
those,
Cobain had that.
Those two seem like the most unfair things in the world to me.
Crohn's disease is pretty bad. Yeah, yeah.
So, did you experience any kind of vertigo or anything?
Well, no. I mean, we didn't go on the hot air balloon.
But I
have experienced vertigo before.
Did you piss out, or was there another reason for you not attending this hot air balloon?
It was raining.
Not nice.
It got canceled because
it
was
high.
Raining.
You get high on that fucking thing. It's scary.
You'd get high on the ground. Heyo. Sorry.
True story.
So in past instances, I've been on very high places, and you know, you'll start to feel a little dizzy. Mm-hmm. And what happens to me is I feel like things on my person are going to fall off. Like my glasses might fall off, so I'll put them in my pocket or my phone. You know, mm-hmm. I'll feel so uneven that things could, even though they're zipped up, you know, my pockets are zipped up, you know, I feel like things are just going to fall out.
Your wedding ring is going to fly off.
Right, right. Just weird, weird feeling, you know. So I'll be, when we do finally make it on this hot air balloon ride, it's going to be an interesting experience.
Was the hot air balloon your idea?
No, we actually, it's a gift certificate from Mairead's parents that we got.
Is she aware of your vertigo?
Her parents aren't, apparently.
Hey, thanks a lot, mom and dad.
Yeah,
I love you, mom and dad.
You see how I'm not calling it fear of heights. I'm calling it what it is.
Well,
people who say, "Oh, I have
aren't
a fear
you scared
of heights.
Of heights as well?"
Well,
I mean,
and it seems that like go, that. I mean, how does that?
I don't
work?
Know. If, I mean, is this vertigo and being scared of heights tie together? Is that something that's...
I guess it could be different, you know? Just like you look at a ladder and you say, no, I'm not going up there. Or you get up there and then you're just like,
and then you start falling apart.
I might throw up.
Yeah, see, this is the thing for me. I definitely have an anxiety disorder, and I'd love to get into it and waste as much time as possible on this podcast talking about my problems.
Interesting radio.
But the way you talk about it almost seems like there's an anxiety there that kind of triggers the vertigo. Like the second you said you start to get worried and your stuff, like I feel like my stuff is going to fall off and then stuff just kind of snowballs.
Right. But it could be even like, you know, I'd be up there and I'd be totally naked and I'd be like, oh my God, my nipples are going to fall off.
Do you have pictures? Oh, sorry.
So it's irrational.
Wait, what are we talking about?
Based on... Is it based on the fear of heights, or is it fear of vertigo?
I have no idea. I don't know. But I'm looking forward to it.
It should be. It's a good excuse to hang out with a beautiful girl still looking at you.
This is the last time you'll ever be invited. Yeah,
what a cool podcast for me to do.
So the reason I brought up this whole hot air balloon ride is because Mike has a very interesting story about a hot air balloon ride, which you can actually see on YouTube, I think, right?
It was on the MySpace, but I deleted it a while ago, so I don't.
Nobody goes to MySpace.
No one does that
anymore. I was gonna say, what are you talking about?
But yes, I am a victim of hot air balloon crash.
Do tell.
Okay. A friend of mine invited me to come down to...
this is Matt Howard.
Matt Howard, the wine tasting area. Sonoma, maybe? I'm not too sure. To taste some wine.
If it's not Napa.
Yeah, it was not wine. I think it was Napa. I don't know. Northern California vineyards.
Okay.
So we go. We get a little drunk. Or no. Before that, we go on this hot air balloon ride. It's supposed to be about an hour, hour and a half. And we get on and, you know, pretty fucking exciting. You're in this balloon, you're going up in the air, you're really high, and then it's boring. It's boring for the rest of the trip.
It's pretty slow, right?
It's very slow.
Once you reach maximum height, you just kind of...
Yeah, you're at maximum height, and you're just kind of like, oh, well, all right.
Get sick of
the views. Think in what we talked about this last week, too, before we were going to do the quote-unquote show, before everything broke down. But we were kind of comparing it to, what was it, parasailing? Behind a boat.
Yeah, it's like I've never been parasailing, but I hear it's very boring once you're up.
Right, right. You get up, you know, the boat takes off, and it's like, you know, as you're going up, you're like,
oh my God, I'm flying.
Yeah, yeah. And then you get up there, and then it's, you know, okay.
Then you sit in a harness until they let you down.
It's not like they have a beer koozie up there that you can, you know.
No, you're being
put
towed.
A drink into.
Your parachute is being towed.
Yeah.
Start missing your Xbox and wondering when you're going to come down so you can get on with your day. I know how that goes.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a job.
So anyway, we're up in this fucking hot air balloon, and it does get a little scary at points when, you know, you look over the edge, and you're about 1,000, 1,500 feet up. I'm not too sure. And, you know, when you get next to a cliff and you get that sensation of, oh, I should jump. Or, no, I could probably jump. Or, you know,
what if I jumped right now?
Yeah,
I can
what
make
if
it.
I jumped?
I've totally, I do that all the time.
Yeah, it's that weird fear, that irrational fear that pops in your head.
It's like, what if I just lost control?
That would happen every once in a while, and I just get closer into the basket.
So how big is the basket, though?
The basket is, it's pretty big. It's probably 7 by 7. There's 49 square feet of basket.
Right, and how many people were in this basket with you?
There were probably about 8 people.
8 people?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Maybe more. I sent them a bunch of link to the crash video, but
yeah.
So
let's get to the point of crashing, because I watched this video and I couldn't stop laughing because there's a woman in the background that's going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, and you can hear Mike on there just with his buddy just laughing their asses off they're running into a tree. Right. So tell us how did everything kind of happen? I'm always interested on this, like what transpired during
the
crash.
So after the trip's supposed to be an hour and a half.
Right.
At the 2 hour point, the instructor, or not the instructor, the pilot, I guess, he says, well, shit, we should probably find a place to land. And me and my buddy are just
totally
thinking,
hadn't planned to land this thing tonight.
We're thinking, okay,
we're pulling an all-nighter.
You know, shouldn't you have this all planned out? I don't know how hot air balloons work, you know? So we start looking for a place to land, and then the wind picks up, and he's just kind of telling us, well, I hope we have enough fuel to find a place to land. And now everybody's like panicking. God. This hot air balloon ride becomes very interesting. The boredom is done. We are stoked. Like, oh, shit, something's going to happen.
It's all scripted. He knew you guys were getting bored.
It's all scripted.
We're running out of fuel.
So eventually, hour three, this hour and a half balloon ride has turned into 3 hours. He finds a place to land. Everyone's excited to get out of this fucking basket. You know, it's been way too long in this ride. So he finds a spot, descends, and then it's right next to this hill, and a gust of wind comes, and we crash into the hill. And two people almost fall out of the basket.
You hit the hill?
Yeah, we hit the hill.
Wow.
So we hit the hill, and then the wind pushes us over the mountain, and the pilots just, oh, well, I guess that didn't work. And me and my buddy are just laughing our asses off because
he might die.
Yeah, if I died in a hot air balloon.
That's what I would be doing. That's if, like, awesome. A murderer was coming after me, I'd just be laughing.
That's pretty tough. Yeah. On my tombstone, I hope it would read, died in a hot air balloon. That's my quote.
With a big Hello Kitty stitched into it.
Yes. So
carved.
Now the pilot, we get over this mountain, little hill system, and the pilot's like, well, that area over there looks like a nice place to land. We'll just put it down in the trees. And everybody's freaking out. The trees? We're going to land in the fucking trees? Really?
Right.
And
He was basically saying that, okay, yeah, the branches will slow us down.
He was
down.
Saying, brace yourself, because shit's going down.
How many seatbelts in the basket?
No seatbelts.
No.
No seatbelts in the basket?
You're kidding me.
All there was wicker.
Isn't that against the law?
All there was a bunch of liquor.
Just wicker.
Oh,
wicker with a W. So he lands us in the trees. We film it on a camera. It's funny.
By the way, was that like a video camera or a cell phone camera?
That was a video camera from a photo shoot camera.
Yeah, that's something I hadn't considered until I watched that video. Just like you, I was laughing the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's hilarious.
And then, it's like, wait a minute, who's filming this?
Yeah,
who's just
me.
There filming?
Okay. And I think we'll once the website gets done, we'll try to put that up on the website here. So okay, back to your guys' music, man. How would you describe Cannon Canyon?
Ooh, this is tough.
Because I've always, whenever people ask me what Cannon Canyon is, whenever I've gone to like one of your shows, they're like, "Oh, what type of music?" And I always kind of say, "You know, it's like almost alt country, you know, indie rock."
That's the same thing I say.
Well, okay?
I was kind of aiming for the alt country thing, but I really like a lot of rock. So
right,
and my voice changes. I kind of change with the songs and. I'm not really too sure what it is. I think I'm going to start a new genre called art country.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh,
some prog rock involved.
Yeah.
Maybe some weird time shit.
We're planning on spending the next couple of months writing a new record, and both of us are just kind of on the same page. Suddenly, we really want to math up our alt country.
Because all the folk shit that's out there is pretty boring. I mean,
you know,
it's interesting, but it's also pretty boring. You listen to it a few times, okay? That's
what
great.
What would you consider the folk music that's out there right now? I mean, I don't throw anybody under the bus, name a couple bands that you like that
it's become a very trendy
like
kind of folk revival movement.
Yeah, bands like the Dillinger Escape Plan, Discord and Saxis, Daughters
are nothing what we're talking about.
Grizzly Bear.
We're talking about our favorite bands. Actually, you know what?
are you referring to bands that are doing a lot of vocal harmonies, things like that?
Yeah.
I don't want to say names.
I guess you'd call it
names.
I'd hate to say it, but I guess you'd call it the beard bands.
Yeah. That's pretty fair. That's a pretty good blanket description.
Yeah. Which
I
sucks.
I don't know.
I really like my beard, and I don't want to get rid of it.
Yeah,
same geez.
it defines my chin.
It does, doesn't it? It gets rid of that double chin. That's why I grew mine.
Gain 20 pounds, grow beard.
Yeah,
you still look good.
Totally.
Yeah, one of the coolest things about being able to play with Mike is he's coming from kind of a completely different angle than me. I grew up as kind of a metal dork, mm-hmm. and I was into a lot of our local more aggressive music. And then after Roy, who kind of paved the way for me to get into pop music and stuff more along those lines, it's been interesting because, you know, my tendencies as a musician are nothing like his. And we seem to be constantly
feed off each other.
Yeah,
from it. It's pretty cool.
That's
I mean,
great.
That might be that's got to be one of the most stereotypical interview answers ever.
The
but
energy, the energy that is formed.
I can see they're both totally gazing honest. Into their each other's eyes right now too.
I love you.
Making
I kind of wish Mike
kiss
could open
mouth.
His eyes a little bit more though.
Yeah.
From genetic. What I could see of his eyes.
It's totally genetic.
Where are you from
originally? I've often wanted to ask you about that.
My nationality?
Yeah.
Well, there's been a confusion about that my whole life because I smile, I squint, and also I have almond-shaped eyes. So I
yeah,
kind of
so
look Asian.
Picture, for the listeners, picture
don't do
any that. Anime.
Any anime.
Where when they're smiling and talking or laughing and it's the upside-down U shape. For their eyes closed, Mike's doing
it is.
That almost.
It
all
is.
Time. See,
it is.
I'm
He's
not,
totally right.
I'm not making this up.
Well, anyway, so I'm not. I have no Asian in me, as far as I know. But
ooh, I didn't say Asian. What are you? You're walking a fine line.
You
on
are.
Racism,
you
buddy.
Sir
you
are
said,
a racist.
Okay.
Wow. Wow.
Well, anyway,
I see you gave him the yellow microphone.
That's wrong. And it's orange.
You started it.
Anyway, I
okay, guys, settle your differences here.
I don't like your face, buddy. I can't tell where you're from. You make me nervous.
I'm quarter Greek, quarter Norwegian, and then the rest is European. So I have no Eastern blood in me.
And you're totally broke.
Totally,
totally broke.
Totally no. Uninteresting.
Yeah, it's totally boring.
Yeah, this
Mediterranean Scandinavian mutt.
This is amazing fake radio here, guys.
Caca. Ooh, he's going to hear that.
I know.
You're in trouble.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I think what we're going to do now, we're going to go to a music break, and we're going to get some mics set up, and you guys are going to play a couple songs for us, right?
Maybe. Depends on
know.
How quick dinner this, is
yeah.
going to get done here.
If we eat during the break, I might not feel like playing.
You can't eat until... Ooh. The show's over.
All right, we'll play some songs.
Stipulation too. Number one.
Fine.
Okay, we're going to hear a great song by a great band. The song is called Glad Girls by Guided by Voices. Here we go. We'll see you in a second.
Hey, Glad Girls, I only want to get you high. I only wanna get you high.
Cannon Canyon here, and they're going to play a couple songs for us. This first one is called Not Coming Back. Enjoy.
Ready.
You guys, that is awesome. It's like having our own little concert in our living room, which is why we did this in the first place. We just wanted to have cool people over here to play music for us, like circus monkeys.
Not cool, not cool, man.
All right, so what are you going to play for us next?
This next song is, it doesn't really have a title, but we're calling it Battles for now.
Battles?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Can't wait to hear it. This is Michael Cooper and Kellen.
Yeah.
What's your last name?
My last name is Kellen Anderson.
Kellen Anderson.
Of Cannon Canyon.
Alright, yep, ready.
Stand true.
clapping.
One guy.
So was that what it was like on your tour by yourself?
Do you have
like
cricket noises?
Just one guy clapping in the audience?
You gotta get a cricket drop.
And it was the guy that plays guitar with you?
Enter cricket now.
So you got one more to play for us. Yes. What's this one called?
This one's doesn't have a title yet either, but we're calling it Not Sure. So
only because that's what he says in the chorus.
Yeah, that's all I say.
Oh, okay.
The whole time.
Well, maybe you should just, you know, you said this on the last song, Battles, and so I'm thinking that maybe you should just name these songs Battles and then Not Sure.
That's probably what's going to happen.
I mean, they sound like good names.
I really don't like naming things, so just call it number two.
It kind of sounds that way.
Yeah, yeah. Like shit.
Okay. And we have to say we haven't played this one, just the two of us, like this before. So if this works out, then you guys got a real treat.
Excellent. And it'll all be recorded, and it'll go down on the interweb, and it'll never go away.
If it's amazing, you're welcome.
And if it's not...
You're
sorry.
Welcome.
No, whatever. Yeah,
you're
welcome.
All right, go ahead.
All right.
Guys, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
For coming and playing some tunes for us. And we'll get situated here. And all right, we're back once again. AirRaid.net. Please check out the website. I gotta thank Sam Sahonis for making just an amazing website for us. So I hope you guys all check that out. So we're back with Cannon Canyon here, Michael Cooper and
Kellen Anderson.
Kellen Anderson.
We met for the first time today. My middle name is Kellen.
What's your first name?
It's actually Kellen.
Kellen Anderson.
Kellen, which is
Are
where we came
serious?
Up with the name for the band.
He goes Kellen squared Anderson.
No, my middle name is Michael. Thanks, Mom.
Awkward. See, once again, I wish I had a drop that went
Or the cricket.
Yeah, yeah, or the cricket. Yeah, that would be perfect right
We could have played those throughout the last couple of songs that we played.
Yeah. No, the song sounded great. I really appreciate you guys coming out here. It sounded awesome.
Thanks.
So I wanted to get back into kind of this experience down in L.A. Now, before you came up into Seattle to do this show that you did last weekend at the Black Wolf Lodge.
Black Lodge.
Black Lodge. You had to kind of go back to LA to do an audition for something.
Yes, yes. We had the opportunity to audition for a commercial, a TV commercial.
Okay, and so Kellen was with you too, right? You guys did this together?
Well, yes. So I was in San Francisco. I was about to play a show for my solo tour thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a call from the casting agent that I don't really know, but different story. Anyway. So she,
no, that's actually not a different story because I want to know how you actually ended up with a casting agent.
All right. So I'm going to go way back. So back in November, my brother works for a production company down there. And he asked me to record a Christmas song that would be on a Cadillac commercial. So I was like, all right. So I booked some studio time and recorded this Christmas song. I forgot what it's called. It's the... You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Anyway, so I recorded it and...
I'm not Jesus, Cooper.
It was great. It was a great version, but they decided not to use it. And they used Smokey Robinson's version. Or Smokey Robinson's keyboard player's piano version.
So that basically cost them a lot more money than it would have.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was between you and Smokey Robinson...
His keyboard player.
You know, I honestly can sympathize. I think they maybe made a good decision.
They totally did.
That's not have you heard it? Have you heard it, Kellen?
I have. I really liked it. I was kind of shocked, to be honest with you, how well they pulled this off. Some of Mike's friends guested on it and put together this whole thing. It was produced really well. Kind of bummed out to hear that he didn't get it, because after hearing it, I was like, dude, this is for sure. Like, he's
right.
Like,
right.
Do it.
Well, it's fitting because Cooper, this is before you guys knew each other, but Mike used to make Christmas presents for everybody.
Christmas covers.
Christmas covers.
Blankets.
And
blankets
I still have that. I still have that CD.
Damn. The little mini one?
So Kellen just reached over and grabbed something off of Mike's eyebrow. So now everything.
He only has one.
Thanks, buddy.
Everything's becoming clear.
Well, anyway, let's get back to the shit. So
well, you used to make these Christmas CDs for everybody, and I still have it. I still have it, and I actually pop it in.
I listened to it recently, and I was cringing.
No, it's good.
Well,
it's good.
Anyway.
Okay.
So,
back to the story.
So they didn't use the song, but the keyboard player for Smokey Robinson's band, he kept in mind that I was looking for work doing sound stuff for film. So he calls my brother and it's like, hey, there's an audition for the freecreditscore.com commercial. Would your brother's band be interested? And my brother, he's trying to help out the best he can. He's like, yeah, of course he'd be interested. So
now this is the brother that stole my favorite shirt.
Yes. Yeah. The Native American.
The Ron Wilson shirt.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'll put a picture up on the internet.
Long story short. They ask us to audition. I don't have a band. I'm down in L.A. I call Kellen and David. David flies down. Kellen gets his buddy to drive him down to San Francisco, where I was about to play another show. Meet up with Kellen, drive down to L.A., pick up David, get a rehearsal spot in L.A., play a few songs for about 4 or 5 hours, go to the audition, which is at this, what was it, the Gibson Showroom?
Yeah, the Gibson Showroom.
So it's at the Gibson Showroom, which has... amazing guitars.
Absolutely
everywhere.
Gear nerd wet dream.
Yeah.
Really?
You show up and there's just every guitar you could imagine and they just tell you to pick whatever you want.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So I picked this hollow body because of SGs and what's the other one? Les Paul. Mm-hmm. I look like a giant holding it. It's like I'm playing a ukulele. So I got this big hollow body. And
so you did it all for the look.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's kind of what you have to do, right? If you got this job, you'd be kind of like the other credit score commercial that does the little band thing with all the Fender.
Yeah. We were trying to sell out so hard. We really wanted to sell out. I mean, if someone was going to give us a bunch of money to dress up as a pirate and do a fucking jingle about
a kitschy little
credit score, I'm down. I don't care. Give me some money. I'm unemployed. Anyway.
Yeah, we could have snuck some dick jokes into our songs and people would have loved it.
Oh, we really should have done that. That would have been perfect.
Because I will sell out so fast if anyone's listening that wants to, whatever. Anyway, so we do the audition. And we actually have a lot of fun doing it. Thought we played pretty well.
I think we played really, really well.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. Did you guys actually like write a song for this?
No, they asked us to play two of our own songs.
Some of your original stuff.
So we played two of our own songs. Some of the more loud, noisy ones that have some energy. Mm-hmm. And they went really well. They told us that callbacks would be by Friday.
They said, thank you, get the fuck out.
It's basically what...
But in our defense, they told that to everybody, which was kind of what I was looking for. I had this whole, like, oh, dude, I'm going to L.A. I want to experience L.A.
Yeah. And so I might be in a commercial.
when I stressed out about something for 2 days and then just got, like, put through the ringer and shat right out, I was like, oh, awesome. This is L.A. Love this.
So yeah, you were just in it for the experience.
Yeah.
I was. Awesome.
Which really was, cool. I mean, I was so stoked that Kellen and David were down to meet me and do this because it was just a fun time. And then we ended up practicing a bunch and decided to play the rest of the shows on the tour as a band. And it worked out. Kellen drove up the coast with me. I made him listen to the new national record about 70 times.
Which is a great album.
I like it. Kellen doesn't. Yeah. But
you don't like it.
You know what? I got to be...
It didn't grow on you after a little bit?
It did grow on me a little bit, only because I was trying to pick out all the spots when Coop was singing along where he had misheard the lyrics. So, towards the end of the trip, when I had heard it enough and I was kind of edgy, I was like, it's not what he says. He's saying love, not life. And... So it became kind of a game. It passed a lot of time, but you know, every 15
that
or
and
so.
Hugo Montenegro's
dude,
soundtrack,
that record.
Spaghetti Western.
Hugo Montenegro was
he does the
a version of it. Yeah,
I don't think he wrote it, but
we were driving through Big Sur on the coast. It was absolutely gorgeous.
Best soundtrack is Hugo Montenegro and Big Sur with the sun setting. It was the most romantic thing I've ever experienced with Kellen ever. And I hope I never experience it with him again.
Well, so that's why you kind of looked him in the eye and said, hey,
I'm
going to pick this fuzzy off your eyebrow.
Right.
Yeah.
That's our signal for...
So you guys are close.
We bonded.
You guys are close.
Actually, he lives in Tacoma. I live quite a bit further away.
He caught me masturbating in a tent. That was weird. But other than that, we're very close.
We won't go into that because your parents might listen to this show.
No, they don't care.
So, okay, so back to this audition that you guys did in L.A. So you were telling us you went down there, they led you into the Gibson showroom. You get to pick out anything that you could want. And for a guy that's into musical equipment, like I think all of us are, that's a huge, huge thing. I mean,
totally.
Well, I think it was more a big deal for Kellen and David because I was just kind of looking for the instrument
Mike didn't
that made
know.
Me. Right. No, I didn't. I didn't really care. I'd play Fender guitars the whole time, and
he picked up a bass at first. And we're like, dude, six strings. You got to find one of six.
Well, I was more concerned on how I was going to play it because it's a different feel. And I also wanted the biggest guitar so it didn't look like ukulele, I was saying earlier.
Right.
I thought we both looked good. And
I thought we
sounded
looked
good,
so sexy.
It was a total success.
Yeah, it was fun.
So what kind of drum set did they have there?
Was it a Gretsch?
We're gonna nerd out
some
here
Gibson
for a
owned. Some Gibson I owned. Apologize. It was all Gibson owned shit. Gibson owned amps, which the amps actually sounded pretty good. I thought they were gonna sound like shit, but
I think I played through an Ashdown bass rig.
Oh, that's pretty good though. Those are pretty nice.
You know, I wasn't really familiar with it, but it was like kind of set up before I even got there.
Those are all it's all tube.
Yeah. Sounded awesome. I grabbed a grabber bass.
He grabbed a grabber. There's pictures.
It was awesome.
Nice.
Big fan.
Okay, so
it looks like a toilet bowl though, or a toilet seat.
Might.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
Okay. So you did. I mean, I take it you didn't get it.
Actually, we didn't get it. Yeah. There's okay. No future credit score right commercial for the, with Cannon Canyon.
Mike, you almost had your mouth on.
No commercial for us.
So what? I mean, did you see any other acts that were coming in there?
They were fantastic.
The first act we saw, it was a guy and a girl.
Guys wearing heels.
Both of them had 6-inch heel platform shoes system going on.
Oh, that's hot.
They weren't playing any instruments. It was kind of like
no instruments.
No, it was like a band karaoke thing.
Really?
So did they bring in like a boombox? Or pleather or something. But
God, what was their song called? Kiss.
I think it was an iPod based situation plugged into the sound system.
Yeah, there was three members of the band. There was a girl in heels, a guy wearing heels, and an iPod wearing heels.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Third member.
Yeah.
So it wasn't Lo-Fi Sound Rebellion or something like that?
No. But I bet they get it. I think they did.
I think they got it. Band.
Yeah.
That group.
Yeah.
I should say.
I totally thought we had this in the bag, though.
I kind of did too.
I thought, hey, we look like indie, right? Like
They can sell us.
Yeah,
they can sell the shit out of us. Give us money.
Independently, they could sell each one of us into different media.
Yeah, yeah.
And we would just go for it and not ask questions.
Were you wearing the Mariners hat, though, Kellen?
No, no hats and no gum. That was Coop's rule.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe you should have been wearing the hat.
No, yeah, he looks good in the hat.
They'd be like, you know,
yeah. Seattle's so played out.
It is.
Yeah.
I walked in.
Well, I'm sorry you guys didn't get it.
That's probably for the best. But it was a great experience. We had a lot of fun, you know.
That's cool. And then you actually went on from, so that was in San Francisco.
That was in LA.
That was in LA.
We drove from San Francisco, met David in LA.
Okay.
Then stayed at my brother's place in Santa Monica.
Uh-huh.
Got a rehearsal's place during the day.
And then you finished the tour coming back up.
Yes.
With
yes.
everybody.
Yeah, I met. The next show was in Portland, so Kellen and I had quite a drive. But a
couple of camping trips.
We camped a little bit. It was a little Brokeback Mountain-esque, but
you could call it that.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice.
Fun for some.
Stayed in Big Sur, then we stayed in Redding, and then we drove all the way to Portland, played a show, partied.
So where was the drummer through all this, David?
David,
he was at work.
Yeah, he was at work. Well, he flowed down to L.A.
He flowed down
there.
For all the listeners, he flowed down to L.A.
It was
LA.
A very high flow day,
Are you guys
too.
Making fun of my speech?
Yes, we are.
I can't help it. It's been a problem since 5.
Where are you from, anyway? Sorry, go ahead.
We hit on that earlier.
Anyway, so David met us in L.A., and then he did the audition, and then he flew back to Seattle, and he works at UW Bothell, I believe.
Cool.
Yeah, so he had a big day ahead of him.
Yeah, I could say so. Okay, well, you know what, you guys? I think that wraps it up here.
Oh, that's it?
Are we going to bring it home?
That's it.
That's done?
We're going to bring it home. We're going to bring it all home with a Cannon Canyon song.
I'm going to eat some...
Or Cannon Canyon song,
I'm
sorry.
Much dinner waiting for us right now.
Yeah,
so
dinner
stoked.
Is ready here. Thank you both for coming.
Thanks for having
so
us.
So much.
The
music
awesome.
Was great. And we're going to play a full band song by Cannon Canyon coming out here called Sit Down and Listen.
I love this song.
So I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for tuning in. And have a great week.
It's hard to know. skin's all on. You know that you're peeling. I've got the tools, afraid to use them. If I'm ahead, then why am I losing? Captain,